loved one goes home to be with the Lord, it's often a time of great confusion as well as grief. What needs to be done and when? Hi, I'm Rob West. Simply making funeral arrangements can be difficult enough, but then there's an estate to settle, and many find themselves unprepared. Today, I'll give you the 6 financial steps to take when a loved one dies. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, before we get to the financial steps you should take when a spouse or other loved one passes, there's a very important spiritual step to take. Prayer. You should invite God to be a part of all your financial affairs and decisions, but especially now as you begin the process of settling your loved one's estate. It's enough simply to pray for wisdom in this challenging time. James 1:5 teaches, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Romans 8:28 reveals just how much the Lord wants to guide and strengthen you. It reads, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." After a time of prayer, you'll feel more confident and ready to take on the challenge of settling your loved one's estate. So here are the 6 steps you'll need to take. First, get a copy of the death certificate. This is the legal record of your loved one's death. It's usually prepared by a medical examiner and provided to you by the funeral home you're using for the burial. You may also obtain a copy at your county vital records office. It may take a few weeks to obtain the death certificate. If you haven't received one in that time, contact the funeral home or records office to check on it. You really need a copy of the death certificate to begin the other steps in this process, and it's especially important if you are the executor of the estate, because most of the actions you'll take require a copy of the death certificate. Okay, now that you have that document, you can take it and a copy of the will down to your county probate office and file a petition to begin the probate process. If you're the executor, you can then begin carrying out the deceased's last wishes as specified in the will. But what if there is no will? Well, then things get a bit more complicated. You'll still take the death certificate to probate court and petition the court to begin the probate process. You can also request to be named administrator of the estate, but there's no guarantee the court will honor that request. The probate court will then decide, according to state law, how the deceased's estate will be divided up among the heirs. Things may get complicated at that point, and you may want to have an estate attorney help you through the process of distributing the assets. We recommend getting someone with the CKA designation, and you can go to faithfi.com and just click Find a CKA. Now, in step 3, you begin notifying the deceased's financial institutions and advisors, if any. If your loved one had a financial advisor, that person can be a huge help in determining what assets are involved. You can also check the current balances when you notify financial institutions of your loved one's death. Here's where you may discover that some assets can pass directly to beneficiaries without going through probate. Check with administrators of retirement and standard brokerage accounts for transfer on death or TOD instructions. For banks, check for payable on death or POD instructions. You'll probably have to provide a copy of the death certificate to get the funds released. At this point, you should also notify the 3 credit reporting agencies, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, of your loved one's passing. Again, you'll need the death certificate. They will close those accounts. Get copies of the reports and check to make sure everything is in order and that there are no fraudulent accounts or transactions. Step 4 is to contact the deceased's life insurance company or companies. You'll need the death certificate here, too. Also, cancel other types of insurance, such as auto or disability, that are no longer needed. Step 5 is to notify any affected government agencies. Interestingly, the funeral director often notifies Social Security of a deceased's death. Check to confirm that and also notify Medicare and the VA if necessary. Finally, step six is getting started on the deceased's final taxes. Here is where you really should bring in a professional such as a CPA to help with this. I know that's a lot, but you can get through it one step at a time. And remember to pray for guidance and know that you are never alone. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If we're honest with ourselves, it doesn't seem as though we've changed all that much through the years. Yes, we believe in Jesus and love Him, but there are still those stubborn sins that we fall into. It can be quite discouraging, right? But there is good news. Even though we don't see the change, change is happening. It may come to us quite gradually. It may seem to be slow moving, but we're being made to look more like Jesus and less like ourselves. Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 3, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory." Take heart, friend. Change is happening. It'll continue to happen until we're home with Jesus. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it, and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, we're delighted you're joining us today for Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and we're ready to take your questions today on anything financial. Our lines are open, our team is standing by, and we'd love to dive into whatever you're thinking about as you live, give, owe, and grow in light of God's Word, in light of a biblical worldview. We want to be here to provide you hopeful encouragement, but also to give you practical ideas as you make decisions through the lens of Scripture. We all spend money every day, whether it's churning at home in our utilities, or we're actually spending real dollars and cents, or maybe it's happening electronically. Whatever it is, though, we like to think about money as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And in fact, because God owns it all, it's a reflection of what's important to us. Every spending decision is ultimately a spiritual decision because we're stewards of the King of Kings resources. So we want to be found faithful. Faithfulness is our goal and objective. And after we surrender our lives to Jesus, well, the rest of our life is really about stewardship, stewardship of God's word and our time and our relationships and, yes, God's money as well. So let's do that together with whatever you're thinking about today financially. Again, lines are open and you can call right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Tennessee. Hi, Cheryl. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I had a question about paying off a mortgage early. So do you still recommend paying down your mortgage early when you have a low interest rate?
You know, it's certainly worth considering. I'll say that, Cheryl. So give me just kind of a rundown here. I suspect your interest rate when you say it's low, is it below 3%?
Right. It's 2.93. And just considering the rate of inflation,
yeah,
it kind of seems like, you know, you're borrowing in dollars, but you're paying back in pennies in 20
yeah.
years. So do you, it's 17 years left on the 20-year mortgage. And
yeah,
so what would you recommend?
Yeah, so I like the way you're thinking about this. I mean, you know, the key here is to recognize there's both a financial and a non-financial element to this. Now, given your low rate, especially in light of where rates are today at, you know, at around 7%, I mean, you're looking at that saying, why in the world would I ever pay it off? And from a purely financial standpoint, you're right. I mean, you can make a great case to say, I'll just want to take my time and get that, you know, paid off over time. The non-financial side that you would bring into the equation is, you know, could involve a number of other considerations. So sometimes I'll get a call from folks saying, Rob, we've been praying about this. And as we've been searching the scriptures, we know borrowing is not a sin, but we just have a real conviction to be out of debt, to owe nothing to anyone. And if that's the case, I would say go for it and don't look back. And that probably trumps even the financial considerations. Others might say, and I would certainly encourage this, well, at the very least, we want to have our mortgage paid off by the time we enter retirement, or at least around that time, because we know that's our largest expense. We want to take that off the table. That just kind of takes the pressure off in terms of the monthly need that we have. Others also are factoring in, from a financial standpoint, just the availability of cash and wanting to make sure that they have proper reserves and liquidity and not, you know, putting too much of that against equity, the mortgage repayment, just because it will deplete their liquid reserve. So when you put all of that together, here's kind of the way I think about this decision. First is, if I've got a conviction from the Lord as I pray through it to be debt-free, then I would say, let's just go for it. Apart from that, you know, if you're comfortable with the mortgage staying around, you're not looking for the added peace of mind of knowing that you're completely unencumbered, then I think at that point we can take a more measured approach to debt repayment, and perhaps, you know, you set a target date that you'd like to have it paid off, not trying to rush it, not trying to deplete capital, especially capital that could be invested and compounding, you know, between now and retirement. And so maybe you're sending an extra payment a year or something like that, because the goal is ultimately to be debt free. But given your low interest rate, you're not going to rush it. So I think it, you know, really just comes down to a decision making process where you need to decide what's most important to us. Is it maximizing the resources we have for retirement income? Great. That's going to lead you to a different outcome. Is it to be debt-free as soon as possible? Well, that's going to lead you in a different direction. So as you process that, what I'm saying here, Cheryl, how does that hit you?
I think that sounds great. I think that answered my question perfectly. So thank you very much.
Yeah, let me just ask, as you all talk about it, which do you think is the priority for you, just as you consider the opportunity here?
Well, I think that the not paying it off was where we were already leaning. And then just listening to your reasoning, it's confirming that. So we actually have renters in that house, and we have some surplus from the rent. And so I was thinking, should we put that surplus towards the mortgage or extra principal, or should we invest it somewhere else? And I think being out of debt is not the goal, but having more money towards retirement is the goal. So
Yeah.
I that's the way we're going to go. So I really
appreciate
it. Yeah,
that's great.
It.
Well, I think that really helps because clarifying the objective just makes the pathway to get there a lot clearer. These are both great priorities and one's not better than the other. It's really just a matter of you all kind of thinking through which is the right goal for you in light of your values and priorities. It sounds like that's clear. And so I'm delighted to hear that makes the next steps even clearer. So Cheryl, thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Appreciate it. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Alabama. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm in Central Alabama, and I've been a notary since 1999, and I'm getting close to my retirement from a regular job. And I want to, as an entrepreneur, start up my notary business and other services. So I'm unsure of what taxes to file, whether it's sole proprietor or the LLC. But I do know that I need the liability insurance security, as well as being able to write off some equipment for the business.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. You know, at the end of the day, I would say you probably should get some professional tax advice. I'm not a CPA, but I'll just tell you generally, you know, a lot of folks in your position will often select an S corp because they're not looking to bring in, you know, other investors into the business. You know, they don't need the management flexibility that comes with an LLC. But the benefits of the S corp are that it's a pass-through with regard to taxation. And one of the other benefits is that you can pay yourself a reasonable salary, and then, you know, you can distribute profits as well, which would not be subject to the self-employment tax. So it gives you some benefits with regard to taxation, and you don't have a lot of the, you know, complexities and double taxation that often comes with a C corp. So, you know, I think that would probably give you what you're looking for, allow you to keep everything separate. You would have to, you know, file the S corp and get that set up. But basically, you know, it would give you a lot of flexibility in terms of how you run it. It would give you some advantages from a tax standpoint. So I think that's probably the direction you'll end up just based on what I'm hearing you're trying to do. But what I would do is connect with a CPA because you're going to want to have them, you know, help you get all this set up anyway, and just confirm that based on your situation, that is the direction to go. They can also get you help you get your books set up so you keep your personal and business records separate. Thanks for your call today, Mary. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
The LGBT movement isn't new. Since 1968, it's been making its way into the Christian church, and now we're seeing parts of the church starting to affirm the quote-unquote gay Christian lifestyle. How did we get here? In the book Dangerous Affirmation, author M.D. Perkins sheds light on how Christians are being lured away from God's truth and calls us to faithfulness to God's design. You can get the ebook version of Dangerous Affirmation today at resources.afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance. I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thanks for joining us on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got lines open. We're ready for your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Again, the number, 800-525-7000. By the way, if you'd like to support this broadcast ministry financially, we'd certainly be grateful. As a listener-supported ministry, we rely on your tax-deductible contributions to do what we do on the air every day with our coaches and the FaithFi app, in our community, through the resources we provide. It's all a direct result of your listener support. And so if you'd like to give a gift of any amount, you can just simply head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and just click the give button. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. We'll go to Kentucky. Hi, Amy. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. First-time caller, long-time listener. Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm delighted to, Amy. How can I help?
Well, I have a 16-year-old and a nearly 12-year-old, and their grandmother wants to give them each $10,000. I was curious, the best way to either invest it for a short term. My 16-year-old just got her permit. She may be wanting a car in the next little while. I'm not sure. But you had mentioned before I-bonds, and I'm not really familiar with those. I didn't know if that's more of a long-term investment or what. What would be the best way to maybe a short-term investment with this money that would benefit them when they turn 18?
Yeah, very good. So this, first of all, what a great blessing this will be to them. To the latter part of your question first, I would not use the I-bonds. Those were attractive a year or so ago. You know, at one point they were paying north of 9% with government backing, government guaranteed, which means it's, you know, almost zero risk. And that kind of return was phenomenal. But that was when we were experiencing the height of our 40-year high inflation. That has come down. And so therefore, the composite rate on the I-bonds has come down. It went from 9, and then it was at 6.8%. Now we're in the 4s, and it'll adjust again. We'll find out the new rate in November, but it's coming down again. So you can do better outside of the I-bonds and have even more liquidity. So I wouldn't use that option. You know, whenever we're thinking about how to invest, Amy, we always need to start with the time horizon and just really say, okay, when might we need this money? And a general rule of thumb there is if we need it in potentially 5 years or less, we really don't want to be investing it, because what we don't want is for you to, you know, put this in a high quality mutual fund with a bunch of stocks, which would normally be great for long-term appreciation. But then 3 years down the road, you know, one of your kids wants to access this money to buy a car or, you know, pay for college, and the market's down, we're in a recession, you're selling at a loss, and now, you know, instead of 10,000, they've got, you know, 8,500 in there, and you know, everybody's frustrated at that point. So I think if that's the time horizon of 5 years or less, then we're probably looking at CDs would typically be the best option. And the good news is that right now, you know, you can get 5.5% on a CD. So, you know, if you were to take a $10,000 investment, you know, you could make $550 over the next 12 months. Well, that's great. I mean, you know, over the next couple of years, you know, there could be an extra $1,000 or $2,000 in this account that they would be able to take advantage of. And the nice thing is you don't have any risk of principal loss, which is obviously the key here. So does that sound like what you're looking for, Amy?
That answers my question perfectly.
Good.
I've actually looked at a couple of local banks who have offered maybe 7-month to 9-month CDs, even a year at 5.25%, I think,
okay.
which was, I thought was pretty decent.
Yeah.
So we may go that route then.
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, what I would probably do is just open a taxable account either, you know, at your bank, or you could do one at one of the discount brokerages, or wherever you open the CD, and you'd open it in your name, but then just kind of earmark it for each child. So you'd have a separate account for each child just so you could keep track of them. And then as they spend them down, you know, you won't have to worry about whether that impacts the other child because they're separate. I would also just encourage you to go to bankrate.com, bankrate.com. You can click on CDs, and then you can change the search parameters to the duration you're looking for, and it will give you a list of the online banks and, you know, all of it will rank them from, you know, most interest rate, most yield to less. And that would give you some options to compare against your local brick and mortar bank, just in case, you know, you may be able to get an extra 0.25% if you did an online bank, which, by the way, I don't have any concern over at all, as long as there's FDIC insurance. Okay.
Right. Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, Amy. Hey, God bless you. And we appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your financial questions. To Iowa. Hey, John, how can I help you, sir?
Hey, hi, Rob. Question. I'm investing some extra money I've got in a Roth 401k with my work. Been doing that for a couple years. And I'm wondering, should I keep doing that, keep buying things at a sale price, or should I take that money and put it in a high-performance savings? High-performance savings, I can get about 5.
Yeah.
In my Roth, I'm getting about negative something.
Yeah, no, I totally get where you're coming from. What is your age, John, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 58.
Okay, and how far out is retirement for you?
Well, probably 65 or 67.
Okay, yeah. So we still got a good bit of time. I mean, I like you continuing to fund that Roth. I know it's frustrating, you know, to watch those unrealized losses. But, you know, this is a great time for you to be dollar cost averaging in, because as I think you alluded to there, you're buying stocks on sale right now. You know, so, you know, we go to the store, we like the idea of buying something, you know, less expensive. And the same is true with our stocks. We don't want to buy at the top all the time. And because you have the time horizon, the historical data would tell us that you're going to do better in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio over the next decade than you would in a CD, even though you're getting 5.5% right now. You know, as interest rates start coming down probably next year, well, at that point, you're not going to be able to get those attractive rates, and perhaps the stock market's higher, so you've missed some of that recovery. So I think for me, I'd just be systematic and continuing to contribute to that Roth, which, by the way, is great because you won't have the required minimums. You could let it continue to grow if you don't need it in retirement, and I think it'll pay off over the long term. Thanks for your call, John. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson. Weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program. God's blessings to you all.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. Hey, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app recently, I'd love for you to download it today wherever you get apps. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can download the app, jump into our community where every day people are posting questions, other stewards like you, and then folks are jumping in and helping them answer their questions, encouraging them on their stewardship journeys. Also in the app is our Learn tab where we pull together the very best content in biblical finance. It's there for you to read and enjoy podcasts, videos, articles. There's also our money management system where you can set up a digital envelope system so you and your spouse can see exactly what's left in each envelope in a beautiful, simple interface with everything downloaded automatically from your institution so you can make decisions throughout the month to stay on budget and use God's money aligned with your values and priorities. It's all in the FaithFi app, and perhaps the easiest way to find out more and to download it today is just to go to faithfi.com and click app, or if you're on your smartphone now and you want to jump into your app store, just search for FaithFi. That's Faith F. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Greg. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rob, for taking my call.
Sure.
A question was back when you were recommending I-bonds.
Yeah.
We took advantage of that and my wife and I both put $10,000 each into the I-bonds. My question is. Okay, now it's dropped, so I guess we got 9 point whatever at the beginning. Now we're drawing, what you say, 4-something now?
Yeah.
When should we look at drawing that out? I know we had to leave it in there at least a year.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, this is probably the time to do it, Greg, because I think these rates are going to continue to come down. So the way this works is, so the 9.62% rate, the composite rate for the I-bonds, started as of May 2022. However, whenever you invested for the 6 months following May of 2022, you locked in that 9.6% rate for 6 months, a full 6 months, regardless of when the next interest rate came out. And then at that point, it switched to the 6.89% rate, which went for another 6 months. And then at the end of that 6 month period, the full year beyond when you first invested, not when the rate came out, but when you invested, a year later, that's when it adjusted to the 4.3. So as long as you're beyond that 1 year mark, you have the ability to pull it out. and you know that you're no longer getting that 6.89, which was great while it lasted. 9.6 was even better. But given the fact that I would say this is short-term money, 1 to 3 year money, which is what I'd said from the very beginning, and given the fact that interest rates are going to, inflation is going to continue to come down because of the Fed's, you know, all-out attack on inflation, you'll be better served elsewhere. You know, for instance, if you want to keep it ultimately safe, you know, CDs or even a high yield bank account will do, you know, as good or better than what you're going to get in the I bond. So I think this is probably the time to just redefine the purpose for this $20,000, assign a time horizon to it and a level of safety that you're seeking. And then, you know, at that point, pull it out and either drop it into a CD or a high yield savings. Or if you want to take a little risk on it, perhaps this is the time to maybe put it in some high quality corporate and government bonds, which will do well as interest rates come down, or maybe even a portion in stocks. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. Will we still sacrifice just 3 months of interest?
That's how that works. Okay. Yeah. So if you pull it out in less than 5 years, you do pay a small penalty of 3 months worth of interest. So as they credit that interest upon redemption, they'll just back out 3 months worth.
Okay. So that's what I was thinking, but I just wanted to get your advice on that too. So that was that made us a little chunk of money there. So
yeah, hey, I'm glad you did it. I think while it lasted, that was a good thing. Unfortunately, that's a thing of the past. You know, typically, and I'm just looking at a chart right now of these rates, and you know, I mean, before it went up to 9, the 6 months before that, it was at 7, but you know, you go back much before that and we're seeing 2s and 1s. So, you know, not a whole lot there to get excited about, but interest rates were at 0 then too. So, and inflation was down near the Fed's target at 2%. So yeah, it was a good thing while it lasted, but probably time to move on. So Greg, we appreciate your call today, my friend. If I can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. Let's head to Oklahoma. Hi, Cheryl. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about survivor benefits. My husband is getting ready to retire. He's a federal employee, and we're needing to know if we should sign up for survivor benefits for me or not, since we have to pay for those.
Okay. And so are you talking, I mean, typically when we're talking survivor's benefits, we're talking Social Security survivor's benefits for widows, widowers, and dependents?
No, it would be his federal pension, and he will receive a monthly pension for the years that he's worked.
Oh, okay.
But he can sign me up. Like if he passes away,
yes,
then I can receive, I think it's 50% of his pension.
Right. I'm following you now.
We do have to pay. Okay. We do have to pay for the survivor benefits, though. So we're just wondering, is that a good idea, or should we? Because I will receive life insurance when he passes away.
I see. Yeah. Now, what type of life insurance is that, though? Is it a term policy or whole life?
We have a whole life that is growing each year. So okay, we're actually, it's increasing each year.
The premium is?
No, the...
Or the cash value?
Amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cash value.
All right. And what is the death benefit on that?
$100,000.
Yeah. Okay. You know, typically I would say, I mean, this really comes down to retirement planning and looking at your expenses in retirement, determining how much you need and what income sources you have. A lot of times it does make sense to elect that reduced annuity to provide that ongoing survivor's benefit from the, you know, pension so that you have the ability to continue to earn that income, especially if, you know, with that election there, it still gives you enough for you both to meet your needs, but it doesn't place a hardship on you where that's going to, you know, go away at his death. And, you know, just on the average, our, you know, husbands will predecease their spouses and so, or their wives. So I think you having that guaranteed income, you know, is a good thing. And it also potentially gives you the ability, if you wanted to, at some point, to take the cash value of that life insurance out and drop that policy if it becomes expensive or if it starts to eat into the cash value as the mortality expense gets higher and higher as you all age. Have you looked at what that reduced benefit would be if you select the survivor option? And does that meet your needs when you look at all of your income sources?
Yes, I think it would because of like savings, life insurance, and things like that.
Okay.
I think it would be fine.
So I would lean in that direction. But here's the thing. I think this would probably be worth you doing some more extensive retirement planning. I'd connect, if it were me, with a certified Kingdom advisor in your area at faithfi.com and do some more planning. But generally speaking, I like the survivor option. We'll be right back.
The Encore 2023 series of listener favorites concludes this week on Truth for Life. You'll find out how in God's economy your weakness is an attribute, how keeping your promises is vitally important, and how the right focus can keep you steady in a confusing world. Listen to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
The ups and downs of life are not always just happenstance. Sometimes God brings those things into our life for a purpose. That he might strengthen us and make us the kind of people that he can trust and use in the days that are before us.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, When Your World Falls Apart, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and this is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, looking to Scripture, living in light of eternity, holding God's money loosely, giving it generously, and also enjoying what we have. You know, part of what God tells us in His Word is that we're to enjoy what He's given us within the proper context, as long as we're not loving money and pursuing money as an end, and allowing our hearts to be captivated by the things that money can buy. As long as God is our true treasure and our money is being used to accomplish God's purposes, well, it's at that point that we can enjoy what God has given us, because we're now in a proper place in terms of viewing money, seeing it as a way to be investing in the eternal, the life that is to come, but also enjoying it now, building memories with our families and enjoying the blessing that comes from what God has entrusted to us. You see, when we put it in its proper place, well, everything changes at that point. Hey, we'd love to take your calls today. I've got room for a few more before we round out the program today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Hey, before we go back to the phones, let me address a topic that we talk about a lot here on this program, and it's answering the question, how much is enough? You know, one of my mentors, Ron Blue, the popular author and teacher on biblical personal finance, says that every Christian needs to answer three questions as it relates to their money. The first is, who owns it? The second is, how much is enough? And the third is the next steward chosen and prepared. And that last part is critical. And prepared means that they're ready to receive that. Think, you know, your children, maybe even adult children. What would that money do to their spiritual life? Are they pursuing a lifestyle counter to God's word? And would a $500,000 dropped in their laps accelerate that? So those are three key questions. Well, how do we answer that second one? How much is enough? Well, first, we need to understand the difference between needs and wants. Believers in Christ serve a God who promises to meet and to supply our basic needs. So we need to understand that. That means we need to put Jesus first, and we will always have enough of what we need to live. And then we can trust God to know what that is. I think where people often get confused is in the matter of wants and desires, the things that are not essential for survival. How much is enough of those? Well, that's a matter of priority, right? God has to be first. He either exists and is sovereign, or he doesn't exist and you're on your own. Once you commit to following Christ, you admit that God is sovereign, and that changes everything. And placing the Lord first means acknowledging his ownership of everything. And then as the Holy Spirit works in your heart, your motivation to accumulate gradually changes by the grace of God from self-centered to God-centered. And with Jesus as the Lord of your life, your idea of enough begins to change too, because now you're trusting God to meet your needs and your desires start to line up with what God wants. You'll begin to desire less of worldly things. All this is a part of a miraculous heart change that happens when God gets a hold of you. So while the worldly person is asking, how can I get more? The Christian starts asking, how can I serve more with what God has provided? So think about that today as you consider this idea of enough and try to counteract the messages that we get in this culture. All right, let's head to the phones here. We've got maybe one line open today for a final question based on what I'm already seeing here on the line. 800-525-7000. We're going to Arkansas next. Bruce is a first-time caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, yeah, man. Thanks for taking the call.
Absolutely.
I was wondering if, you know of any kind of programs for, like, folks that don't make a whole lot of income? I'm thinking, you know, because I've heard about these programs, somebody that wants to invest 15, 20, 25, 50 bucks a month. And I looked at some of them, and some of them looked a little bit snaky, you know. And I just wonder if you knew anything about that and if there's any of those that might even, like, reflect Christian values.
Yeah, interesting. So you're looking to put away a systematic amount. You want to, go ahead and invest it in, you know, stocks, let's say. So you've got a time horizon of 10 years or more, but you're talking, a minimal amount every month or every paycheck of somewhere between $10 and $25. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to add more, but, I just don't want to do with something like Vanguard or some other nonsense.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So here's what I would probably do. I'd probably invest directly in one of the faith-based investing mutual funds. So for instance, Eventide, you can look it up online, Eventide Asset Management. You could open an account and invest directly into the Eventide Gilead Fund or the Eventide Health and Life Sciences Fund. And you could put in that kind of systematic investment and you would know that it's faith-based. You could look at Timothy Plan. You could look at Crossmark Global, One Ascent. You know, and these are faith-based investing funds that are going to be have a stated purpose to avoid companies that are misaligned with Christian values, and to specifically align the investments with companies that are promoting human flourishing and even having a kingdom impact. So I would probably head to our website, Bruce. If you go to faithfi.com and click on the show, you could see a listing among our underwriters of a lot of the most well-known and premier faith-based investing mutual fund families in the country. And, you know, you could just, you know, go directly to them, open an account, and then just start, you know, systematically adding, you know, whatever is available every month. And you'd have the objective to be long-term appreciation. So you'd want to take a long view with it. But the nice thing is you would know that you're with a fund family that's going to ensure that, you know, you're aligned with your values in terms of the companies they're deploying that capital in.
Hey, well, that sounds great. And they'll take minimum amounts, like $20, $25, $30 for a month and stuff.
You would, they have different classifications of shares that have different minimums. So you may need to just kind of sock it away in savings until you get to, you know, an initial minimum investment, and you'll want to check with each of them on their minimums. But I'm confident you'll find one that, you know, allows you to start at the level you're describing.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate that. And God bless you.
All right, Bruce, thanks for being on the program today, my friend. God bless you as well. You know, one of the things we need is we need a robo-advisor for faith-based investing. So robo-advisor may be a new term to you, but essentially a robo-advisor is an automated solution using algorithms based on questions you answer to build a low-cost diversified portfolio. But the great thing about the robos is essentially there's no minimums and they're very low in fees. So it's almost an indexed approach to investing, but with a very small dollar amount. Well, those exist with the major indexes, the S&P 500s and the Russell 1000 and the Dow 30 and the aggregate bond indexes. The problem is, if you want to be aligned with your values, you're probably not going to want to invest in all 500 of the S&P 500 stocks. I can guarantee you won't. And so what we need is a robo solution that is for someone who's just starting out, but where it's only using faith-based investing fund options that are values aligned for those investors that want to honor their convictions in that area. I can tell you, I know of a couple that are in the works. We don't have any of those yet, but we'll certainly keep you posted. And when they start to roll out, you'll be the first to hear about it here. Hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. All right, let's head back to the phones to Texas. Hi, Will, also a first-time caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I have a question on the I bonds where if we cash them in before 5 years, we lose 3 months interest. Is that the last 3 months that you had it in there? Say if I had it in there 15 months, it would just be those last 3 months of interest that I would lose, not some average number?
That's exactly right. It'd be the last 3 months of interest would be subtracted from the amount that's credited at redemption.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I mean, if it drops to 4 point something now, I may be better off to leave it in there another 3 months so I don't lose 3 months of the 6%+ interest.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I mean, we're already at 4.3% now, but as I had shared to a previous caller, you get the rate that was prevailing when you started, when you dropped the money in, you get that for a full 6 months, even if you don't start on the day that they release that rate. And then you switch to the next rate for a full 6 months. So you're right. Even though it's already at 4.3, you may still be at the higher rate. And therefore, if you wait until it tips over into the next 6 month cycle and give it 3 months, then you would have less of an impact on that withdrawal.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you for the advice.
All right, Will, we appreciate your call today. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. And just a moment ago, I was talking about how much is enough. Let me finish on that topic. Here's the reality. As we're thinking about defining enough for each of us, if you're a Christ follower, your job is to find out what God wants you to do with the financial resources entrusted to you. So here's some ideas. Maybe you're a teenager. God may be pointing you towards college and a career where you can influence others for the kingdom. That could mean anything from ministry to teaching, automotive repair to medicine. Put your resources in His hands and follow His call. If you're a mom or dad, God has given you unique opportunities to raise your children in the respect and knowledge of the Lord. Teach them how to hold their possessions lightly and demonstrate godly financial principles. If you're a worker, and we all are, do it with all your heart as though you're working for the Lord. That's what Scripture says. Trust Him to provide for you and your family. If you're approaching retirement, ask the Lord how He would use you and your resources to advance the kingdom and serve those around you in this amazing season of life where you have the most to give in terms of wisdom and experience. Following Christ is the way to peace, to joy, to the abundant life. So when we ask how much is enough, we're actually asking the wrong question. For believers, the real question is, who is enough? No matter what your financial situation is, you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and change your desire for accumulation. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. On behalf of my team, Robert Youngblood, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Guess what? We'll be back to do it all over tomorrow. Come back and join us then. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.